The following is a class on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, Chapter 1, Text 1 to 8, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 1st, 2001, in Moscow, Russia.
Pangum langayate shailam mukham avartayet strutim yat kripa tamaham bande krishna chaitanya mishwaram. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. Durgame patimendasya skalat pad gathir muhu swakripa yasti danina shanta sanpa valambanam. My path is very difficult. I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore may the saints help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support. Sri Rupa Sanatana Bhakta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Echai Gurur Karon Charanavandan Yahaite Vignanal Abhishta Puran. I pray at the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta, and Das Raghunath, so that all impediments to my writing this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If one wants to benefit the entire world, he will certainly find persons like hogs and pigs who will put forth many impediments. That is natural. But if a devotee seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, the merciful Goswamis will certainly give the Lord's servitor all protection. It is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Nevertheless, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated, and the transcendental devotional service to serve Krishna, the Supreme Lord, will be fulfilled. Jayatam suratau pangor mama mandam teragati mat sarvasva padam bojam radha madana mohanau. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. Divyad brindaranya kalpadrumadha sriman ratnagara sinhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devao Pristalibi Sevyamano Smarani. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Sriman Rasara Sarambi Bamsivata Tathastataha Karshan Venu Svanayar Gopir Gopinath Sriyestunaha. Sri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore at Bamsivat and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. All glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This purport by our beloved Srila Prabhupada is a very intimate revelation of his heart. He is explaining to us that many impediments will come on the path of bhakti. It is natural. We can expect them. But if we pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis headed by Rupa and Sanatana, then by their mercy, all impediments will be removed. Srila Prabhupada was ordered by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to perform an impossible service that no other acharya had ever performed in the history of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. To actually fulfill the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. To propagate the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, and pure devotional service all over the world in the English language. When he retired from his household life and entered into the Vanaprastha stage, he was in his 60s. To prepare for his life mission, he went to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Most people go to Vrindavan when they are old to die. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he explained, we should die to live and live to spread the holy name around. That was Prabhupada's motivation. First he lived in the Bamsi Gopal temple. Then he went to Sri Sri Radha Damodar Mandir. Srila Prabhupada understood to create a foundation for his society, there must be books. He began the incredible feat of translating Srimad Bhagavatam into English language with elaborate purports based on the conclusions of all our acharyas. He was so poor. He just had some very simple old cloth and he had no possessions. He had no substantial contacts in the Western world to help him. How would he spread this movement all over the world? Great impediment. But Srila Prabhupada took shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. He made his bhajan kutir and kitchen just inches away from Rupa Goswami's samadhi mandir. The divine presence and the mercy of great souls is especially prominent at their samadhi mandirs. Day and night, Srila Prabhupada was taking shelter of Sri Rupa Goswami, begging for him to empower him. And ultimately, with the blessings of Sri Rupa Goswami, he left for the Western world. And all impediments were removed. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada wanted to share that divine mercy with his followers. He invited devotees from all over the world to come to Vrindavan. There, he conducted classes on the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, for one full month right beside the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada taught us through this wonderful lila how his goal and mission in life is simply to bring us to the feet of the six Goswamis. Because by their mercy, the highest realizations of Goloka Vrindavan are revealed within our heart. So for all of the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who are following his divine grace through the Prabhupada, it has been made very, very prominent how important the mercy of Rupa Goswami is to us. Today we are continuing our narration, trying to somehow or other describe a part of a drop from the vast, unlimited ocean of the glories of Sri Rupa Goswami. Although my heart is black and full of sins, and my brain is of the most unfortunate, insignificant substance, the devotees have ordered me to speak on this glorious topic. With your permission and blessings, I will try. Yesterday, we ended with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining the very essence of transcendental knowledge to Rupa Goswami at Prayag. Then he sent Rupa Goswami to Vrindavan, where he saw all the 12 forests in the company of Subhuti Rai. Following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, he returned to Jagannath Puri to meet the Lord. He was living in the bhajan kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. Due to their profound humility, they never even attempted to enter into Jagannath temple because they considered themselves so fallen and so sinful that they had no qualification. Humility conquers the heart of the Lord. False pride repulses him. Due to the great humility of these two souls, Lord Jagannath would personally come out of his temple every day after the Upabhog offering in his divine form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give his darshan to Rupa Goswami and Thakur Haridas. He would sit for a long time and speak to them and personally give them large quantities of Jagannath's Mahaprasad with his own hands. Lord Chaitanya loved Rupa Goswami so very much. The Lord brought all of his associates to Haridas Thakur's bhajan kutir. He introduced Rupa Goswami to all of them. Then he instructed Rupa Goswami to worship and offer prayers to the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas. He offered his dandavat obeisances, laying flat on the ground with all humility and offering prayers of respect and devotion to all the devotees. In return, they lifted him up and embraced him. Lord Chaitanya requested all the devotees, please bestow your mercy on Rupa Goswami so that he can distribute transcendental knowledge of Vrindavan throughout the world. Srila Rupa Goswami became more dear than the very life of all the devotees. After some days was the Gundicha Marjanam. Of course, Rupa Goswami would not go in Gundicha Mandir, but all the other devotees cleansed it, and afterward, in the Aitota garden, they all were taking prasad. As the devotees were very much relishing Jagannath's prasad, they invited Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur, come, sit with us, take prasad. They were so humble that from a short distance away they were offering obeisances with tears in their eyes, saying, we are too fallen, we are too sinful, we are unqualified to sit with you. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with their genuine humility that after he finished his Mahaprasad, he had his servant Govinda deliver all his remnants to Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. After this incident, one day Lord Chaitanya spoke to Rupa Goswami. He said, Yadu Kumar, the son of Vasudev, he is the Lord of Dwarka and Mathura. Sri Nandanandana, Krishna, he is the Lord of Vrindavan. He never takes one step out of Vrindavan. You should not combine these two leelas in one drama. You should separate it into two dramas, one with Krishna Leela in Dwarka and one in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami was very much appreciating the omniscience of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's awareness. This confirmed what Satyabhama Devi spoke to him in Satyabhamapur. So he began his work on these two dramas, Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. All the devotees of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu celebrated the Ratha Yatra. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy. He divided his devotees into 7 kirtan groups. Each group had a lead singer and a lead dancer. Lord Chaitanya appointed the first group. The lead singer was Swarup Damodar Goswami, and the lead dancer was Advaitacharya Prabhu. In the second group, the lead singer was Srivas Thakur, and the lead dancer was Nityananda Prabhu. In the third group, the lead singer was Mukunda Dutt, and the lead dancer was Srila Haridas Thakur. In the fourth group, the lead singer was Govinda Ghosh, and the lead dancer was
Vakreshwar Pandit.
He made another group out of the devotees of Shantipur, in which Achyutananda was the dancer. The devotees of Kulinagram formed the sixth group, and Ramananda and Satyaraj were the main dancers. And then he formed a group of the devotees of Shrikanda, in which Narahari and Raghunandan were the dancers. Mahaprabhu manifested himself into seven forms simultaneously to dance in each of the groups. And each group was thinking that the Lord is so merciful, so compassionate, he only stays with us. Other times he would manifest one form and all the groups would merge into one to see his beautiful dancing. Kaviraj Goswami describes the incredible ecstatic symptoms of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful form when he was dancing before Jagannath. It was the ultimate demonstration of divine love ever to be seen. In fact, everyone in the entire Puri could see Lord Chaitanya dancing. No one could take their eyes off him for even a moment. The pilgrims, the servants of Jagannath, the residents of Puri, the tourists, every single person there, just by seeing Lord Chaitanya's dance of love, ecstatic, eternal love of Krishna, erupted in their hearts. Sri Rupa Goswami was present for that Rath Yatra. He took note of Lord Chaitanya, who was in the deepest states of the ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, as he was praying to Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya was offering a very, very mysterious prayer. That very personality who stole my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights in the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the river Reva, under the Vedasi tree. That is my desire. No one could understand what was the meaning of this prayer. It sounded like the passion of a lover for his beloved in this world. It is said that Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, his heart and Mahaprabhu's heart were non-different. He alone could understand the deep import of this sloka. Sri Rupa Goswami, some days later, wrote on a palm leaf a explanation of this verse by writing another verse. Then he took that palm leaf and put it in the thatched roof of Haridas Thakur's residence. He went to the sea to take his bath. While he was away, Lord Chaitanya arrived. He happened to see this palm leaf stuck in the roof. He examined it. Lord Chaitanya was ecstatically struck with wonder. He read that verse. At that time, Rupa Goswami arrived. Lord Chaitanya saw him bowing down. He picked him up and very affectionately slapped him. Then Lord Chaitanya met with Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he recited the verse that Rupa Goswami had written, which is as follows. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy reading this verse. He asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, how is it possible that Rupa Goswami has understood and realized the innermost confidential feelings of my heart? Swarup Damodar Goswami replied, "It is because you have bestowed your great mercy upon him. There is no other way." Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes. Yeah. I met Rupa Goswami at Prayag when I noticed his conduct and his humble devotional qualities. I considered he is a fit candidate for my mercy. I bestowed my special mercy upon him. And I empowered him to perfectly understand my heart. Now, Swarup Damodar Goswami, you please instruct Rupa Goswami on the transcendental mellows of Vrindavan. For I have empowered him to write transcendental literatures, to spread throughout the world the glories of pure devotional service of Vrindavan." One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the residence of Haridas and Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami was just in the process of writing his literatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up the palm leaf. He said, "I want to see what you are writing, Sri Rup." He held that palm leaf up, and his heart was filled with bliss. He said, "The handwriting of Srila Rupa Goswami is like rows of pearls." Then he read the verse. Such a verse that brought ecstasy to his heart. "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When that holy name of Krishna dances on my tongue, I desire many, many mouths. When that name enters my ears, I desire millions upon millions of ears. When the name of Krishna enters into the courtyard of my heart, it conquers my mind and my senses become inert. The Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, when he heard that verse, he began to dance in ecstasy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so satisfied. The next morning, he met with Sri Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and began to recite these verses to them. He brought them and the other devotees to visit Rupa Goswami. On the way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extolling the glories of Rupa Goswami with such love, it appeared he had five mouths. And the devotees were filled with joy to hear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's praise of Rupa Goswami. Materialistic consciousness doesn't like to hear other people praised. We like to hear ourselves praised. Actually, if someone we don't know and has nothing to do with what we're doing is praised, we don't mind. Just like if you're a good preacher and you have recognition and distinction for being a good preacher. If somebody praises another devotee for being an excellent cook, you don't mind. But if they began to praise a person because they're such good preachers, the tendency is to become envious. These words of praise should be coming to me. Why are you giving to someone else? The mind is thinking like this. If people recognize you, respect you, and honor you for being very humble, then if somebody else is being praised for their humility, you're thinking, what nonsense? Everyone should know I'm more humble than him. It's the nature of material mind. Because the spirit soul in the conditioned state is envious of Krishna, so therefore potentially we're envious of everyone. And whatever we're recognized, appreciated, and praised for, anybody else who is praised for those things, that is where we are most vulnerable to be envious. But Lord Chaitanya taught us, Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. A devotee is humble. A devotee, a real Vaishnava, feels the greatest joy to see another devotee getting special mercy and empowerment of Lord Chaitanya and hearing the praise of those Vaishnavas. They arrive at Haridas Thakur's kutir. All the devotees sat on a raised platform. Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami sat on the lowest possible level. Lord Chaitanya and the devotee said, please come sit with us. We are not fit to sit with you. We will stay here. Then Lord Chaitanya requested Srila Rupa Goswami, please recite that verse that brought so much joy to my heart. Rupa Goswami, due to his humility, he was too shy to read something that he wrote to such exalted personalities. In this way, he resisted reading it. So Swarup Damodar Goswami recited it. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Jamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. When the devotees heard this, they became ecstatic in love. They began to exclaim that we can understand, my Lord, that you have truly bestowed your mercy upon Rupa Goswami. Then Srila Ramananda Rai began to speak. He said, my dear Lord, when I met you at Vidyanagar on the banks of the river Godavari, by your causeless mercy, you spoke your words through my heart and my mouth. You spoke through me the confidential realizations of your own love. And now I see you are empowering Srila Rupa Goswami in the same way. Lord Chaitanya said, yes. I was so pleased with his qualities in Prayag, I embraced him and I impregnated within his heart the full realization of my love. Then Lord Chaitanya said, please read that verse, Srila Rupa Goswami, for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas, that verse that gives pleasure to all the worlds. When the Lord insisted, Rupa Goswami read the next verse. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When that name of Krishna dances in my mouth, I desire many mouths. When that name enters my ears, I desire millions upon millions of ears. When that name enters into my heart, it conquers my mind and makes my senses inert. When the devotees heard that prayer, there was a festival of joy. They all began to speak with each other. Never have we heard such a proper glorification of the holy names of Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya requested Ramananda Rai to investigate the nature of Rupa Goswami's writings. Srila Ramananda Rai, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, these were the greatest scholars, the most humble, advanced devotees in the world. They began an examination of Rupa Goswami's literatures. Ramananda Rai asked, please read your introductory verse to your drama. He read it to everyone's full satisfaction. He continued to examine him throughout the entire day. At one point, he requested Sri Rupa Goswami to recite that verse which worships your personal deity. Rupa Goswami was very shy. He said, I cannot recite that. Lord Chaitanya said, recite it, recite it. You're being asked to recite it. Go on. But Rupa Goswami, knowing that verse was in worship of Lord Chaitanya, was afraid Lord Chaitanya would not be pleased with it. But Lord Chaitanya said, read, read, read that sloka that honors your worshipable deity. So Rupa Goswami read, may that Supreme Lord who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, may he be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. And the devotees were blissful when they heard this verse. Lord Chaitanya was satisfied deep within his heart, but externally he became very upset. He said, Rupa Goswami, what have you done? Your writings are like an ocean of ambrosial nectar. And now you have added this false, exaggerated verse, which is like putting a drop of detestable, poisonous alkaline into the nectar of your writings. Ramananda Rai said, no, my lord, it's not like that. He said, his writings are an ocean of nectar, like highly condensed milk. And this verse is like a pinch of camphor to enhance the sweetness. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you saying, Ramananda Rai? What will people think if they hear me praised in his poetry? That would be very shameful to me. Ramananda Rai said, no, my lord, it will not be shameful. Everyone will be in ecstasy. They continued their examination of Rupa Goswami. In the end, Srila Ramananda Rai just looked at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, this is not poetry. This is a continuous shower of nectar. The writings of Rupa Goswami are the very essence of all ultimate realizations of the spiritual truth. It is by your mercy, my lord, you have empowered him. Then Lord Chaitanya revealed his heart to all the devotees. I have personally empowered Rupa Goswami to understand my heart, and I'm sending him to Vrindavan to write transcendental literatures to reveal the highest truths to the world. Then he told all the devotees to bestow their prayers and blessings on Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami went and fell at the feet of all the devotees. Srila Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, they embraced him and blessed him. Without the blessings and mercy of Vaishnavas, nothing we can do will please Krishna. That is the culture of Krishna consciousness. And you cannot force blessings. You can only attract the blessings of the heart of the Vaishnavas by our sincere, humble desire to serve. Sri Rupa Goswami remained in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees for 10 months. In this particular meeting that we just spoke of, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu formally, officially established Rupa Goswami as the Acharya of our Sampradaya. And that all those who want to follow the path of Lord Chaitanya must become Rupanugas, the followers of Sri Rupa. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, now you should go to Vrindavan. When you meet Sanatan Goswami, tell him to come and see me. Your mission in Vrindavan should be to write transcendental literatures glorifying the highest perfection of pure devotional service in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. You should discover and excavate the holy places of Krishna's Leela that have been lost to the world for a long time. You should construct beautiful temples, install the deities, and show how to worship the Supreme Lord Krishna. And by your life's example, you should teach the world the highest principles of Vaishnavism. With those four instructions upon his head, Rupa Goswami took the blessings of all the devotees and departed for Vrindavan. While in Vrindavan, finally, after many years, he met with Srila Sanatan Goswami. Gradually, the other Goswamis began to arrive. Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami were already in Vrindavan. Soon came Gopal Bhatta Goswami from South India. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami came from Varanasi. Raghunath Das Goswami, after serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 16 years in Puri, ultimately joined them in Vrindavan. And later on, their own nephew, the son of Anupam, Sri Jiva Goswami, came. Sri Rupa Goswami traveled throughout the entire Braj Bhumi. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they could personally see with their own eyes the Leela of Radha and Krishna. But yet they were always in the mood of separation. Hey Radhe Brajadeva Kecha Lalite He Nanda Shuno Kataha. They were revealing the holy places of Krishna's Leela throughout Vrindavan. After many years of performing this service, Rupa Goswami was feeling great lamentation in his heart because there was one mission he was not able to fulfill. According to these scriptures, the prominent deity of Vrindavan was Govindadev. He was originally installed by Vajranabh, the great grandson of Sri Krishna. Rupa Goswami was looking everywhere for Govindadev, studying various scriptures and local chronicles. He was inquiring everywhere from anyone. He was going to the homes of hundreds and hundreds of Brijabasis, seeing if they were worshipping Govindadev. However, there was not even a clue of where Govinda was. So Rupa Goswami, for many days, was just sitting on the bank of Jamuna, crying. One day, a Brijabasi, in the form of a beautiful young cowherd boy, approached Srila Rupa Goswami. The cowherd boy said, "Goswamiji, why do you look so sad?" He said, "Because my lord, my master, Lord Chaitanya, has given me instruction, and I'm not able to fulfill that instruction." "What is that?" "I cannot find the Murti of Govindaji. I've searched everywhere." The boy smiled. He said, "Do not be sad. Not far from here, there is a hill called Gomtio. At that place, every day a cow comes. She lets an abundant amount of milk come from her udder, and it falls into the ground. Where the milk falls, underneath, you will find Govindaji. Shall I take you to Gomtio?" Rupa Goswami, "Yes, please." The little boy took him by the hand and brought him to Gomtio. There he saw this eternal Surabhi cow offering all of her milk into the ground. Then the boy disappeared. At that moment, Rupa Goswami understood who that little boy really was. It was Govindaji himself. Rupa Goswami fell to the ground unconscious for a long time. Then he woke up, and he was ecstatically lamenting, "The Supreme Lord Gopal came to me, and I didn't even recognize him. But he has given me a mission." Sri Rupa Goswami went to speak to some Brijabasis and told them, "If you dig very carefully just here, Govindaji will be. He's hiding under this ground." Under Sri Rupa Goswami's command, the Brijabasis began to dig in the ground. To their great satisfaction, Sri Govindadev revealed himself. When they took him out of the earth, they were struck with wonder. He was more beautiful than hundreds and millions of Kandarpas or Cupids. Hundreds and thousands of Brijabasis came from all directions to see the installation of Govindadev. Throughout Braja, Sri Rupa Goswami became so very, very dear to everyone's hearts because it was through his devotion that Govindaji had come to give his darshan. Sri Rupa Goswami worshipped Govindadev in a very simple way. But many years later, his disciple Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, he ordered his disciple, the Raj Man Singh, to erect a beautiful temple for Govindadev. The largest, most magnificent temple in all of North India. 7 stories in height. Not only that, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami made Govindadev his own worshipable deity. He arranged his disciples to provide beautiful cloth for clothing for the deities. opulent ornaments. Two of the ornaments that were offered by Raghunath Bhatta Goswami are very celebrated throughout the world. He offered Govinda Dev a beautiful flute and earrings shaped like sharks. In this way, all of Rupa Goswami's desires were being fulfilled. The literature of Sri Rupa Goswami was so absolutely perfectly composed. One day, Sri Sanatan Goswami visited him. When the six Goswamis would come together, they would just discuss the various literatures they were writing. They would discuss the pastimes of Vrindavan, of Mahaprabhu, and have Harinam Sankirtan. This was their whole life. So one day, Sanatan Goswami was hearing the composition of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami described the black braids in the hair of Srimati Radharani to resemble two black serpents. Sanatan Goswami said, Sri Rupa Goswami, this is not such a nice way to explain Radharani's hair to be like black serpents. Rupa Goswami was so humble, he said, then I will change it. That day, Sanatan Goswami went to a very sacred kund of Braja to take his bath. There he saw several young Brijabasi girls taking their baths. All of a sudden, he saw a black serpent right behind the head of one of those girls. Sanatan Goswami, being very compassionate, started shouting out to the girls, get away, there's a serpent! He went right into the water to save the girls from this serpent. The girls just smiled at him very sweetly. Then they disappeared. Sanatan Goswami went right back to Rupa Goswami's bhajan kutir. He said, Sri Rupa, don't change that verse. That verse is perfect. Keep it as it is. Another time, Sri Rupa Goswami was sitting in his bhajan kutir, and he was chanting the holy names. And suddenly, Krishna just began to reveal his leelas within Rupa Goswami's heart. So Rupa Goswami, he was sitting and just meditating on this leela. It was not something artificial or imagination, it was revealed by Krishna. There he saw the sakis, the confidential maidservants of Srimati Radharani, decorating her for her meeting with Krishna. They were putting cosmetics on her face. They were putting nice cloth around her and ornaments. They combed her hair very nicely. While they were doing this, the sakis noticed that Krishna was just behind watching everything. Everyone saw this except Srimati Radharani. So the sakis wanted to show Sri Radhika who was behind her. So they said to her, would you like to see how you look now? Please, please. So they held a mirror in front of Sri Radharani in such a way that she could see Krishna behind her. Srimati Radhika became very, very embarrassed and shy and started covering her face. All the sakis were so happy, they began to laugh to see her like this. They were laughing so nicely. And Rupa Goswami, seeing this pastime, he started laughing. Uncontrollable laughter. He was just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. Meanwhile, a Vaishnav came to visit Rupa Goswami to receive his blessings. He stood right in front of Rupa Goswami, offered his obeisances, and Rupa Goswami was just practically rolling on the ground laughing. So this devotee thought, he's laughing at me, what have I done? He was utterly bewildered. So he went to Sanatan Goswami's residence. He told him, I went to see your brother, Srila Rupa Goswami, and he just laughed at me. I don't know why. Can you tell me? I don't want to make any apparads to him. Srila Sanatan Goswami knew exactly what happened. So he explained. The devotee thought, Krishna, Krishna, I'm so offensive. I thought different things about Rupa Goswami. He's so elevated. Eventually, Sri Rupa Goswami stopped laughing. He came out of that mystic vision. He looked around in his bhajan kutir and could see that a guest had come. And he did not properly receive the guest. Sri Rupa Goswami, his heart was broken that he disrespected a Vaishnava. Oh. He didn't know who it was or when it was, but he understood that he neglected a devotee. His heart was broken. So he went to the bhajan kutir of Sri Sanatana Goswami to ask him, what should I do? I offended a Vaishnava. Meanwhile, that other devotee was still there. The other devotee began to offer his obeisances to Rupa Goswami. I'm sorry, I offended you. I was thinking different things when you were laughing. Rupa Goswami offered hundreds of obeisances to that devotee. Begged forgiveness that I have neglected you. Please forgive me. This story is from the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Das. He gives a very beautiful and practical purport. Rupa Goswami, who's on the highest level of transcendental realization, worshipable by all the greatest of the acharyas, but he wanted to teach the world how we should never ever neglect a Vaishnava, how we must be very alert and sincere not to neglect or offend any devotee of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami, he had several bhajan kutirs around Braj Dham. One was not far from Nandagaon. There was a kadamba tree called Terakadamba. During the time of Krishna's lila, Krishna would climb on top of that kadamba tree and call all of his cows from the pasture grounds. Krishna had such divine power of love that when he would call the name of a cow, every single cow, and there was 900,000 of them in his herd, they heard their own personal name being called and would come running with their tails raised. They would be mooing very blissfully, soaking the land with the milk of affection. If any single cow didn't come, Krishna would go all way, way, way back into the pastures to personally bring her back. Also, Terakadamba was a very favorite meeting place of Sri Radha and Krishna. So one day, Sri Rupa Goswami, he was writing his literatures there. When he would write about the feelings of separation between Radha and Krishna, it was so deeply sad that the kadamba tree would begin to cry by shedding the tears in the form of all of her leaves falling to the ground. And when he would write about the meeting of Sri Radha and Krishna, the tree would just become an ecstasy, and every part of the tree would start blossoming with flowers. This is Kalpa Vriksha tree. Perfectly, most highly realized, purified soul, reciprocating with the pure devotees of the Lord. One time, Sri Rupa Goswami, he brought one of his manuscripts to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami to read. Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, they loved Raghunath Das Goswami very much. We have explained that Raghunath Das Goswami was the personal assistant of Swarup Damodar Goswami, serving Lord Chaitanya directly in Puri for 16 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Swarup Damodar Goswami could not remain. He soon departed. Without the two lords of his life, Raghunath Das Goswami had no will to live. He decided, I will end my life. I will go to Vrindavan and jump from the top of Govardhan Hill. He made that great walk from Puri to Vrindavan. But he was thinking, before ending my life, I should take the blessings of Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. When he told them his plan, they said, no, no, you cannot do like this. The final pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one here knows of them. You should remain with us and every day recite the glorious pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. On the order of Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Das Goswami, every day for several hours would have discourse discussing the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Knowing the intimate sentiments of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami's love, Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami personally arranged for him to live on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. So on this particular day, Rupa Goswami gave the manuscript of Lalita Madhava to Raghunath Das. When he read this story of the separation of Sri Radha and Krishna, Raghunath Das Goswami just became so filled with the ecstasy of separation. For days he could not speak to anyone. He was simply weeping incessantly. Devotees seeing him in this pitiable condition could not bear it. So they explained to Rupa Goswami, this is what your book has done to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. So out of his love, Rupa Goswami immediately wrote another book describing the joyous meetings of Sri Radha and Krishna. He went personally to Sri Radha Kund and he said to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, I have written another book, I would like you to examine it. But that other manuscript I gave you, Lalita Madhava, I need to edit it, please give it back to me. So when Raghunath Das Goswami read the beautiful poetry of Rupa Goswami describing the union of Sri Radha and Krishna, he became very, very happy. This is the intimacy of the love shared between the six Goswamis. Such compassion, such concern, but always centered around Krishna. There is the famous story that it was Sanatana Goswami's appearance day, and Sri Rupa Goswami considered Sanatana Goswami his guru. He was his elder brother. Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Rai that the elder brother of Rupa Goswami is Sanatana Goswami. He alone has your qualities. He's simultaneously very learned, supremely renounced, and at the same time, completely humble. The combination of these three is practically impossible to find, but it makes a devotee so unlimitedly attractive to the hearts of the Vaishnavas and Krishna. To be truly renounced, to be deeply learned, and at the same time to be decorated with the supreme ornament of humility. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said on occasions that Sanatana Goswami, you are like my own guru. So Rupa Goswami was thinking, I want to arrange a nice feast for my guru on this auspicious day. But the Goswamis had nothing. They were just living, doing madhukari, begging from house to house, getting some rotis. But the Lord knows the heart. A very beautiful, mysterious little cowherd girl approached Rupa Goswami. She said, I have brought this kheer, sweet rice. You should offer it to your brother today. Then she disappeared. Rupa Goswami was very happy. He offered this kheer to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami started to eat it. He said to Rupa Goswami, we'll take together, you take also. As soon as they tasted it, they became completely uncontrolled in ecstasy. Sanatana Goswami said to Rupa Goswami, where did you get this? He said, a little cowherd girl just came up and gave it to me. Can you describe what this cowherd girl looked like? He began to explain. As he was explaining, Sanatana Goswami understood it was Srimati Radharani. Sanatana Goswami became very much upset and ashamed. In a loving way, he chastised Rupa Goswami. He said, you have caused us to accept service from our most worshipable Sri Radharani. It is she that is the ultimate object of all of our love. It is she that we have surrendered our lives eternally for her pleasure. We are the servants of her servants. And you have caused her to serve us. How shameful. In this way they were crying. But at the same time, the sweet rice tasted so good they couldn't stop drinking it. Through this incident, Srila Sanatana Goswami wanted to show what is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Practically 99.99999% of people who worship God in this world want God to serve them. Give me wealth. Give me health. Give me nice wife, husband. Give me success, victory, happiness. Give me elevation to heavenly planets. Give me liberation. Give me mystic siddhis. In this way, all over the world, in all religions, people are asking God, give me. In this way, we are serving the Lord with the idea that he will serve us. When Lord Narasimhadev offered Prahlad Maharaj a benediction, Prahlad said, no, my Lord. I have surrendered my life to serve you without any expectation of anything in return. I just want to please you. If I ask you for anything in return, then I'm a businessman. I'm not a devotee. Lord Chaitanya prayed, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmanishwari, bhavatir bhaktira hoite kitvai. I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful woman. I do not want fame, distinction, followers. I don't even want liberation from the sufferings of birth and death. Let me simply serve you with unconditional love, birth after birth after birth. This is the love of the devotees of Vrindavan. They want nothing from Krishna. They simply want to give their body, minds, words, lives to Krishna. That is true renunciation. That is following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And what was demonstrated by Sanatan Goswami. Rupa Goswami wrote in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about a servant of Krishna who was fanning him. Seeing the beautiful form of Shamsundar, that devotee was in ecstasy. He started crying. Due to the flooding of tears in his eyes, he could not properly see Krishna to fan him. Therefore, he condemned his ecstasies because they were interfering with his capacity to please Krishna. Gopis were willing to go to hell for eternity to relieve Krishna of his headache for even 1 second. Savai pung sang puro dharamo yato bhaktira rokshijiya hoitakiya pratihataya yatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation of all humanity is that which brings about pure devotional service. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. On behalf of Sri Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada has come into our lives to give us this gift. This is what we should strive to achieve. When Srila Jiva Goswami left home, he went to Navadvip. There, Sri Nityananda Prabhu gave him the parikrama of Sri Navadvip Dham. He told him to go to Varanasi to study under a great Vaishnav and then go to be in Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu told Srila Jiva Goswami that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally given Vrindavan to you and your uncles. By that time, Sri Jiva Goswami, when he was in Varanasi, he became famous throughout the land as the greatest scholar of the scriptures. With that reputation, he went to Vrindavan. He surrendered to the lotus feet of Sri Sanatan Goswami and begged him for initiation. But Sanatan Goswami, who was the very embodiment of humility, he felt himself unqualified and directed him to approach Sri Rupa Goswami for initiation. Srila Rupa Goswami, knowing this to be the desire of his Shiksha Guru, Sanatan Goswami, accepted Jiva Goswami. He engaged Jiva Goswami in the most menial, simple tasks of devotional service. He had Sri Jiva Goswami washing the vessels of the paraphernalia for worship. He went to gather forest flowers. He would clean the house, the bhajan kutir of Rupa Goswami. Every day he would massage the feet and the legs of his Guru Maharaj. In this way, Srila Rupa Goswami taught through Srila Jiva Goswami that however exalted and great a devotee is, he always feels himself the menial, humble servant of Guru and the Vaishnavas. There is the story of when Rupa Narayan came to Vrindavan. And he was a Digvijay Pandit. He had a certificate that anyone he defeated in debate had to sign, I was defeated by Rupa Narayan. He defeated every prominent scholar in all of India. Then he came to Vrindavan.
And everyone said, the greatest acharyas of Vrindavan, the gurus of all Vrindavan, is Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. He said, I challenge you to debate on the scriptures.
Rupa and Sanatana did not care anything for fame or prestige. They just wanted to serve. They said, actually, there's so much propaganda in this age of Kali Yuga. We really don't know the scriptures very well. It's a waste of your time to debate with us. We don't know anything. This man did not see that they were humble, because a person who is proud cannot see these things.
Ah, you say like that? Then you sign my certificate.
So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami immediately signed, we have been defeated by the Digvijaya Pandit. Show it to everyone, no problem. So then he heard that Jiva Goswami, the disciple of Rupa Goswami, that he was upcoming to be a great scholar, so better I defeat him when he's still young. So he challenged Sri Jiva Goswami to debate. Jiva Goswami, I don't want to waste my time with all debates.
He said, I've already defeated your two uncles. Look, your guru signed his name. Jiva Goswami became very upset. The greatest Vedic scholars, the most highly realized Paramhamsas, they signed out of humility, and he is misusing their humility to disgrace their name. He must be brought to justice.
With no trace of false prestige in his own heart, just to protect the good name of his guru and our sampradaya, he said, yes, I will accept your challenge. They sat on the bank of Jamuna for approximately 2 weeks. Finally, Srila Jiva Goswami totally annihilated his arguments. Hare Krishna. Rup Narayan was just devastated. But very secretly and humbly left Vrindavan. So the news came to Rupa Goswami. He called Sri Jiva Goswami. So what have you done? Why did you argue with that man? He's just a nonsense person. Why did you argue with him? You defeated him just so that you would be victorious? That means I have detected pride within your heart. And Vrindavan is a place for those who are completely humble in the mood of surrender to Krishna and Sri Radha. If there is even a drop of pride in one's heart, one is not entitled to remain in Vrindavan. You go from here. Jiva Goswami, he was such a humble devotee. He didn't think, my Guru Maharaj doesn't understand me. He was thinking in the core of his heart that my Guru Maharaj understands me very well. I am very proud. I am very puffed up. I did it all for my own prestige. I have to atone for this great offense. He left Vrindavan, according to Bhakti Ratnakar, near Mathura, outside, near the Jamuna. He was living in a very, very simple little thatched hut. It is also said he was living in the hole in the ground. And he was weeping and weeping day and night, atoning for his offense. He would practically not eat anything. The Brijavasis would come to him, and the only thing he would accept was just some raw flour. He would just add Jamuna water and eat a few drops of that every day. In his ecstasy of love, he was suffering terribly due to his feeling that I am proud and I have offended my guru. This went on for months. Srila Sanatana Goswami would travel all over Brajbhumi to enliven and inspire all the devotees. Everyone loved him as their dearest well-wisher. In fact, the whole Vrindavan considered him the Guru of Braja. Even today, on the Guru Purnima, which is the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami, practically everyone of Brajbhumi does the Govardhan Parikrama. Hundreds and thousands of people at the same time. There's practically a line, a queue, that you have to just walk behind to go around Govardhan Hill. We asked the Brijabasi, why is it that this is specifically the day when all the Brijabasis are so eager to do Govardhan Parikrama? He said, because this is the disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, up until the point he left his body, he maintained a vow to do Govardhan Parikrama every day. When he was very, very old still, every single day he would do the full Govardhan Parikrama, but with such trouble that Krishna actually personally appeared to him and told him, you shouldn't do this, it's too much, you're old. But still, this was his worship to please Krishna. He didn't consider his own convenience or inconvenience. Lord Krishna personally stepped on one of the stones of Govardhan Hill and imprinted his own footprint, and personally brought that Shila back to Manasi Ganga at the Chakaleshwar Mahadev temple and placed it in Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. And told Sanatana Goswami that you circumambulate this Shila and you will get the full benefits of circumambulating Giriraj Govardhan. So these Brijabasis, knowing that Sanatana Goswami, it was such a dear part of his worship to circumambulate Govardhan, that on his disappearance day, because he is the guru of all Vrindavan, they all worship him by doing the Govardhan Parikram. So he was doing his Madhukari, traveling around Brajbhumi, and some of the local Brijabasi said, there is a very, very advanced Babaji living close by. He's constantly crying in separation. He practically won't eat anything except some flour, roti flour with water. He's really, really advanced. But he's lamenting so deeply in separation. Maybe you can help him. Sanatana Goswami, hearing the characteristics, immediately understood it was Jiva Goswami. He personally brought Jiva Goswami back to Vrindavan. And then Sanatana Goswami approached Sri Rupa Goswami. He said, one of the cardinal principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings you are neglecting. Sri Rupa Goswami, out of his humility, he said, oh, please tell me, how can I improve my service to Mahaprabhu? What are the principal teachings of Mahaprabhu? Namaruchi, developing a taste for the chanting of the holy names. Vaishnav Seva, serving the devotees with genuine devotion. And Jivadoy, being compassionate to Jivas. Sanatana Goswami smiled. Sri Rupa Goswami understood he should be compassionate to Jiva. Jiva Goswami came in. Rupa Goswami embraced him with great love. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami personally with his own hands nursed his disciple back to good health. What an incredible relationship between guru and disciple. Even though what Rupa Goswami said to Sri Jiva Goswami was not at all accurate by material standards, still Jiva Goswami accepted that guru knows this is his mercy and surrendered wholeheartedly. And even though Sri Rupa Goswami knew that Jiva Goswami had only the purest motivations, he accused him just to reveal to the world the glories of Jiva Goswami's devotion. Srila Rupa Goswami loved Sri Jiva with such great, great intensity. Sri Rupa Goswami personally carved a deity of Krishna out of stone with his own lotus-like hands. The name of that deity? Radha Damodar. Sri Rupa Goswami personally worshipped the deity. And then out of his love, he entrusted the worship of Sri Radha Damodar to Sri Jiva Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami, through his words, through his example, truly is leading the world of Vaishnavas back home, back to Godhead. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, therefore took shelter of his Samadhi Mandir in Bhajan Kutir to prepare for his glorious journey, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. It is our very, very great fortune that Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to understand and dedicate our lives to following in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantika. The mind of Rupa Goswami was none different than the mind of Lord Chaitanya. He he was especially empowered to reveal the highest spiritual truths to the world. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, in his prayers to the six Goswamis, explained that the dust of the feet of the Goswamis is my only foodstuff. When the devotees of Bengal and Orissa would visit Vrindavan, they would meet Sri Rupa and Sanatan. When they would return to their native places, all the devotees, the first questions they asked were, did you see Sri Rupa and Sanatan? Where do they make their residence? What do they eat? How do they spend their time in the loving service of Lord Chaitanya? The people who had just come from Vrindavan would become ecstatically enlivened to hear this question. In great happiness, they reply that Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they are the very oceans of transcendental love. They renounced the magnificent palaces of Ramkeli, and now they live in Vrindavan. They have no home, no fixed residence. They sleep on the dirt of Vrindavan under a different tree every night. They've forever renounced their ornaments and their costly garments. The only clothes they wear is the tattered, refused cloths thrown out by the Vrijavasis. They make a kopan out of that. And in the winter, sometimes they just wear tattered, torn, old quilts. The only possessions they have is their little begging bowl, water pot. They do madhukari, begging for food. They go house to house as beggars at the homes of the Brahmins. They eat some dry bread and sometimes some fried chickpeas. They are constantly engaged in chanting the kirtans of the holy names, constantly engaged in discussing the glories of Krishna's lila and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. They are constantly engaged in writing transcendental literatures to enlighten the whole world in pure bhakti. They are practically absorbed in devotional service 24 hours a day. At the very most, they take rest for 1.5 hours in a day. And some days, they're so absorbed in their devotional service, they forget all about sleeping at all. They are always absorbed in the remembrance of the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, they are constantly performing the ultimate welfare work for all humanity. This we have seen with our own eyes, how they are living. When the people would hear this, they would become ecstatic, celebrating the pure devotion and the unlimited compassion of the six Goswamis. Srila Prabhupada told us, if you try to imitate the lives of the six Goswamis, you will simply die. Humans cannot do this. If you go to Sanket, you'll see the Bhajan Kutir of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. It's an underground cave. Just to get down there, you have to crawl. Absolutely pitch dark. It's so small, you can hardly move. You can't even sit up straight, what to speak of stand up. And there's no cross ventilation whatsoever. It's practically impossible to breathe down there. And yet he would just be in that little underground cave for months at a time, totally absorbed in the ecstasy of his bhajan. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was so absorbed in devotional service that every few days he would just take one tiny little leaf cup of buttermilk. And when he'd be drinking it, he would be weeping in shame, thinking, I'm so attached to this body that I'm taking so much time away from my service to Radharani and Sri Krishna just for the sense gratification. This is the standard of those associates who were touched by the mercy of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They had descended from Goloka Vrindavan to assist the Lord in his lila. They established by their behavior, by their books, by their temples, by excavating Vrindavan, the ultimate goal of life. How grateful we are to our beloved Srila Prabhupada.
He has brought the teachings and the mercy of the six Goswamis to the whole world.
On this very auspicious day, let us bow our heads with great humility and grateful hearts at his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Rupa Goswami Pad ki
jai.
Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda ki
jai.